Wild Wild West.
What?
Take me to the Wild Wild West.
Who was in that? It was William Smith.
And Kevin.
No. Costner.
Kyle.
No, Kevin. Kyle!
Welcome, Fugglies, to another episode of Spooky Seconds. We are here to talk about episode 3 of season 4 of Dracula, which is Weird Wild West. And we have a special guest with us from season 2 of Dracula.
It's bird queen herself.
Abora.
We have a wonderful time talking about this episode and what we saw. And if Mary Cherry could just talk longer on the show, that'd be great.
You know what? Let's get Mary on the show. Let's figure out a way.
Do you think they'll let her?
Bring the chat to the pod. That's what I'm talking about.
Let's get Mary Cherry.
All right, enjoy the show.
Forever. Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, Diva.
Hello, Fugglies. We are the Goulash Ghouls. And welcome to Spooky Seconds.
One Spooky Second.
Two spooky seconds.
Hey, listen, all I gotta say is I'm really enjoying doing these recaps.
This is a fun thing
that we're doing here on Spooky Seconds every Friday. So if you are listening and you watch Dracula with your friends, let them know we're doing recaps over here on the Sloppy Seconds feed. That's all. I was just plugging our show, people.
Oh, on our show. Great. All right. This week, our special guest for the Weird Wild... For the Weird Wild West episode, we have from season 2 of Dracula and the winner of Alaska's first Drag Queen Pageant of the Year pageant competition, it is Abora!
Hello.
Hello. Hi. How are you? You're up and moving. I gotta tell you, I've never had a guest pace like this. A guest.
That's what we call a guest pace. You know, it helps me gather my thoughts. For the record, I just want to state that I think that even though I am under no contractual obligation to say so, I think that your impersonations of the Boulets are tasteless and horrible.
Oh, but,
well,
I personally,
you're right.
Think they're wonderful.
Do you have an impression? I feel like I feel like they have such a distinct voice that everyone has an impression of them.
Well, my impression tends to go to their candor as opposed to like doing the Kermit thing, which I think is obvious. But my thing is I'll just like do like a normal phrase like, oh God, where are the fucking keys? Have you seen the keys? Like,
When you're on the show or when you're watching it, you feel like you never, like the queens probably never get to see them in person. But like being a part of the show, I've seen them out of drag more than I've seen them in drag. And that's what they talk like. Like they, it's literally just like, we have to do this, 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 this. They're always just planning and looking for something.
Or like it was so jarring to be aware of their presence and then get to work with them and then find out that they have a sense of humor, that they are funny, that they like interact with each other in ways that aren't just knives and nails and all these things, you know?
And actually, I feel like this episode, for the first time, we got to see a little bit more of that when they were hanging out.
When they were talking, yeah.
And it felt like they were kind of turning it on for Trixie. Like, it felt like they were trying to be a little goofy because they were like, oh, we have a really funny and smart, talented guest here.
Also, that panel, we'll get to it. We'll get to the panel of judges, okay. But they were all friends, which I think was really helpful. They already had a built-in rapport, more so than Vanessa Hudgens. But episode 2 is the Weird Wild West. Last week, just to recall, we did the Vampire Beach Party, and the queens performed, or the monsters performed in pairs, and Saint won that challenge, and Betty and Astrid were up for elimination with the up for extermination with the leeches, and Astrid went home.
Also, I have some notes from audience members about last week's episode and things that we said that are wrong.
Oh, tell
one, me. When I said that the pictures aren't on the walls, they're on the side walls, not the back walls.
Yeah,
so they do show up a little bit, but I didn't see that. Two, Sigourney said her breath stank because they just ate garlic.
Oh, remember when Sigourney was like, you need a mint, girl.
You need a mint.
That's rude. They had just eaten garlic.
They had just eaten garlic. I can't remember the third one. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
This week, the episode starts with a Wild West theme skit, a duel, and an accidental or on purpose killing of Israel. I thought this is the best that they've looked. I loved it. It was also maybe the first time they weren't wearing identical costumes.
Yeah, they're starting to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, their hair is getting a little different. I thought it was a cute skit. A little long.
They got out the stagecoach. They did. I liked that duel when they walked backwards. Or they walked back to back.
I also like that they're not wearing the same size shoes anymore. One is a little taller than the other shoe.
Yeah.
They're finally counterbalancing it. So no more of that.
None of that little boule stuff.
I have a question about the boule mythology, or like are they cannibals? Are they zombies? Are they vampires? Are they all of the above? Because they're like, we want to go eat something. Are they human and they're eating other humans? Are they undead? Like, what are they?
They're brothers.
They're brothers.
They're brothers. Brothers. I don't know. I think it's kind of like, that's the thing, is like,
it's
they're
the
just
catch-all.
Monsters. They just eat people. They eat things. They're all of it combined.
Yeah, it's all canon and it's all not canon. It's like, it's whatever it needs to be. I think they're episodic.
Oh, so this one they're vampires. Or last week they were vampires. This time
this one they're either cannibals or zombies.
So we're back in the boudoir, baby, where the pictures are on the side walls. And yeah, Mary.
Very important.
Mary is just being a natural star. She's just living her best life. There's been some talk about maybe Mary talking a little too much. Thoughts?
But I've also heard that everyone else was too quiet.
Well, Mary even tells us that, that makes it in the edit.
Yeah, that made its way in. And I could feel that way, too. I will say, I feel like this episode was the first time that I saw that Saint had a personality. This is the first time I saw any of their real personality, and they weren't all just, like, quiet and being, like, reserved on camera.
I think the type of contestants that go for Dragula are more intrinsic, introverted people. So you get... when you get a campy queen who's like boisterous and loud, it really like takes up a lot more space because I guess nobody else is filling that vacuum.
Well, it's like, it's sort of like, I think certain people do like club drag or like more not so stylized drag because they want to be a performer and they want to be the center of attention. And they're like, oh, if I put on a wig and makeup, I can get that attention. But I think there's a lot more people who skew artist and skew cerebral and skew like, this is a personal expression that I can't do in my own human skin. And that doesn't necessarily relate to like loud personality. Like Meatball, if you were in the room, do you think you would dominate Mary Cherry? Like, you think you would talk more than her?
Absolutely not. I can't talk more than her when I'm in a room with her now.
Oh, Boris seems to disagree.
Oh, well, here's what I will say is that edit of them getting ready where they edited Mary Cherry to be telling the world's longest story with like the fade cuts and doing stuff. But I was like, I will say the room was dead ass quiet.
And she said it.
She said, it's quiet in here. Can I tell a story? Well, it felt like what I would expect would be like a 1.5 minute story and we would all laugh and it would let someone else tell another story. But it felt like she said, I'm going to go on a 20-minute rant where she started correcting herself. She was like, I was drinking. No, actually, no, I wasn't drinking. So then I got on the subway and then I was eating a bagel. Like, it just didn't seem to go anywhere.
They did her so dirty.
They did her. Well, I can't tell in this episode if they like her or if the production doesn't like her, because they keep giving her like this terrible edit, but then also give her the funniest edit in the challenge.
But I think it's the kind of thing where if Mary takes it well, the way they've been editing her, then she will solidify herself as like, maybe she won't come back to compete in the future, but she'll host the red carpets or she'll do whatever. And she'll be an asset to the like overall brand because she's playing along with them. You know what I mean? It all depends on how she takes it. Because if she takes it personally, which she shouldn't, because as they said in last episode, Mary Cherry's charm is what they're sort of exemplifying here with through this edit. Like, I think people are falling in love with her because they're laughing with her and at her. I don't know. It's kind of a tricky spot to be in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Statistically, comedy doesn't do well in Dracula. So she's got an uphill struggle.
Are you talking about Meatball?
I'm talking about Meatball.
So we're still in the boudoir. Dolly feels like she pressured Astrid to audition, and she says that she was like she was pushing her from season two. Do you feel like that's true? Do you know anything about their relationship?
I know them very intimately, and Astrid has always second guessed herself. And Dolly has always been like so supportive, and I find this to be a true statement. I think that through Astrid's struggle to get on, what with her competing at the Boule Ball or the she had won their
the Halloween costume
live. Yeah, she had won their live pageant. So she thought she was in, she thought she was secure. But then she has this like duality of being insecure and second guesses herself and doesn't know what they want and cares too much what they want.
But I also think that's all that all also stems from like she's still really young. And she doesn't have the confidence because she hasn't been doing it for like 5 or 6 years to give the full like fuck everyone's opinion. Also, didn't she go to art school? In art school, everything you do is like for the approval of the teacher, and then so you get in that mind frame until you get out for a while.
I never followed the instructions, and my teachers all loved my work.
Shocking. Honestly, I couldn't believe that statement.
All right, so they get the video message up on the main stage.
Girl.
No, that's a different show. Giddy up, girlies. For this week's challenge, they must conceptualize and create an original look inspired by the Weird Wild West comic book series, which have either of you heard of that before?
Never.
No, actually.
Okay, well, it exists. And their looks need to combine horror, sci-fi, and Western ideas. And the little one makes it very clear that they want panache on the runway for the floor show. Or panache.
They wanted silky. They said we want silky nutmeg ganache on this runway. Oh no, Abby went dark.
Oh, my battery's low.
Oh,
poor.
It's fine.
It's fine. We're just getting started. Okay, well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna get into this floor show prep.
Get you a charger. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh, baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had it was a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is like, you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code sloppyseconds50 at factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a slay, baby. And we're back! There is no Fright Feet this week.
Oh, yeah. I did notice that this episode was kind of short.
Yeah.
Did it feel short?
No, this episode was long and it felt long.
I think they just didn't do the Fright Feet because everyone did the Extermination Challenge, and that sort of took up the time for that. Plus, I think there was a lot of good judging with Trixie and Orville, so they wanted to include all that. But let's talk about some of the prep for the looks. Zavaleta talks about being really excited to share this inspiration from a Mexican perspective and like be dressed as a revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting that they were showing that side of her. And it was nice to see her break down in a way that wasn't like an attack at anybody, but like an emotional, personal moment. They really humanized her for me.
Yeah. And it really set her story up for longevity on the show. Because, honey, week one, you're a bitch. Week two, you get a mini redemption, but you're still kind of a bitch. And week three, they let you see all of the trauma that you've endured to make you be that bitch, and now you're endearing.
You still are a bitch, but then it's good.
Girl,
she was still a bitch.
But now we're rooting for your bitchiness.
We were rooting for you.
Dolly and Jade both grew up with horses, so they have a sense of like Western stuff. And Mary Cherry said, "Let me produce myself. I'm going to go sit over here and have Zavaleta come chit chat with me." Mary Cherry said, No, bring the cameras over here. I want a two shot.
Abora, did you ever have that experience on your season when you were filming and you could tell you were like, we need better lights. I need to get this story going with Bitch. We need to get our little redemption. Like, and you sort of made yourself more available to the camera. Do you remember any moments like that?
No, the exact opposite. They were coaching me. They were coaching me to like resolve my issues with her, but I had not yet like gotten past it. And you know, every week they were like, please resolve this so that we can kick one of you off, please. And I just, you know, I didn't feel like it was natural or real. So I knew it would come across as phony. So I didn't resolve it until it felt right.
I just don't understand Mary's. I get that she's upset that she continues to be safe. I think what she and Jade is having the same experience. I think they just want notes. They just want to know how to not be safe. But honestly, complaining about being safe, don't. It's not a cute look.
Well, and it did not. It did not serve them later.
No,
which we'll find out about because. Well, we'll get to it. Okay, and then how do you feel about Coco being like? I don't really like sci-fi. That's not my gig.
It's the second episode where she's been like, I don't really do this.
Yeah, you kind of have to, even if you feel that way, you can't say that. It doesn't make us root for you.
Yeah, there's right. other positive ways that could just be like, yeah, when I got this, I really had to research it because I didn't want to fuck up. Not, I don't like this, so I'm not really sure what I'm doing.
And then the producers are like, all right, we need a button on this scene. So
can you all ride each other and skip around in a circle? When those fucking idiots did that, I'm sorry. If one of those producers had asked me, Michael turned to me and he was like, you would be the one sitting in the back of the room being like, I'm not doing this on camera. I'm not going to do this.
Come on. I think they did that naturally because I think they have. Come on. I think they did that naturally because they have like this, you know, camaraderie every season. Like everyone's super playful. And
you think they naturally did three circles around that table going giddy up and yeehaw?
I think yeah. naturally Sigourney jumped on Dolly and then yes. Zava decided to jump on Mary. Can I just say how fucked up like toxic heteronormative culture is? Because when Sigourney jumped on Dolly, I was like, what a cute couple. That's literally what I thought. I was like, look at those two sexy people.
Yeah. Wow. Sexy,
isn't that crazy? Like, I said, I wish that was me. I want to jump on Dolly. Dolly, if you're listening, I want you to hit me. What y'all think of Mary Cherry's blonde wig and her Mae West impression?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I was very worried for her. Why don't you
come see me up there, fellas, guys?
It's not even a Mae West impression. It's an impression of Alaska doing Mae West yeah. on Drag Race. What is your, Abora, what is your experience and understanding of Mae West?
It is solely and primarily Alaska's impression.
Yeah.
I did have a little bit of a, my roommate actually like kind of introduced me to her, and she was actually really tough. She was really like, she was like an older actress in a time where, after 30, you just didn't work. So she was working at 40 and still maintaining her sexual identity, which was, you know, bombastic and new and it's great. And everyone loved that. So she's an icon.
And I will say that the inspiration for Mary Cherry's look, like it was a really pretty look. It was
the
clean.
One eye.
The green skin.
I said the look, not the, I guess, sorry, the outfit, the construction of the garment was really nice. And I liked the glass beading.
Yeah. It was very nice. It was very finished.
So do you think you know how to blow out candles with the flourish of your hand?
I do this thing where I'll misdirect the light and I'll like wave my hand and then just under the table just like fan it with my other hand. Like,
oh.
Really hard. Like, ooh.
Oh, so you've been doing stunts and shenanigans from day one.
Oh, yeah. Every birthday party, that's how I do it. I'm just like, ooh, 30.
Oh, God.
Wait, so I'm really curious where, because do shows really, I guess shows still do this. They still do the commercial break because we've talked about this. But
yes, because eventually this will probably air on television. It's like in a couple years or something. And so they'll need.
Oh, maybe on Logo.
And go the Drag Race trajectory.
Well, they build in commercial breaks.
Yeah. So there's
they
already
like
commercial
fade
breaks.
Out. And then the next day they fade back in and they're just like, come, they leave the boudoir and then they come back into the boudoir.
I think the upward trajectory of this show is like,
upward
it's on
trajectory.
Yeah. Because it was on Amazon and now it's on Shudder, which is horror specific, but Amazon or Shudder is owned by AMC.
Oh, so,
like,
so maybe
the
they'll air episodes
for me is
on
like,
AMC.
They'll start airing them on AMC and then the next season or season 6 will be an AMC original.
Which I didn't
show.
Even realize totally connects to the idea that so often the challenges are like references to like classic horror films. So there is like such a bigger tie in there to AMC and the Shudder. That's smart. Good
That's
for
really
them.
Smart. It's gonna it will be on a actual cable channel with real commercial breaks one day.
You heard it here first.
And then maybe someone will be like, hey, a little less of the skits and scats. Or like, maybe they'll get an acting coach. So then...
Attention! Attention! The floor show is about starting. To begin!
Oh, so no. We're going to oh, get wait, this every fucking episode. We're going to get this every episode.
Can you tell us about this drama moment?
Oh my God. It is so overproduced. I think the first time that they did it, it was our Wild West challenge. And they said, all right, everybody, act like you're panicked and that you don't have enough time. And then just like, all you get is this like phony soundbite of everyone, like not really knowing how to, like, it never reads like real. And then like, a second later, everyone has a full face of makeup and has a perfect look. Like,
I did appreciate Betty sort of scurried across the screen scared. And then Dolly was just laughing, which I loved. But Abor, before we take our break, let me ask you. We have theorized that the boudoir set is in a totally different building. And that they film that there. And then when they're like almost ready, they transport them to the Globe. And then they can get in their full look and take the stage. Do you think the boudoir set is actually in the Globe Theater somewhere?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but I do believe it is in the Globe.
Oh.
Well, then why wouldn't they go back to the boudoir to have their after show conversations? Like, after the floor show, go back to the boudoir. Like, take us to a place that we know, not, like, the side stage.
Yeah, that does seem a little disjointed.
Because that means the whole time that they're sitting on the side stage chit-chatting, they're setting up the buffalo next to them.
Yes, yeah.
The floor show starts.
No, we gotta take a break.
We're gonna take a break. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Perfect.
I have to do another podcast.
Are you alive today? I just feel like it's not.
It's my first day where I'm like, I don't have 8 people staying in my house.
Okay, we are back.
We're back from our break.
And the floor show. So okay, so let's talk about these looks.
They model their looks in front of a ring of fire. What was the look? It wasn't Western, was it?
No, it was like a dance costume. Like a futuristic.
Oh, yeah, it was a leotard.
It was kind
with
of like an alien spaceship leotard with like shoulder things.
To me, it looked like a Hot Wheels ramp that had just been embellished.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah, this was not my... Last week's look was such a cunt turn. And also, why wouldn't they just wear those Western looks from the other thing? Because those were so good.
I mean, I thought they looked great. But I think they're doing the, you know, redacted name RuPaul here, where they're going to wear something that is slightly inspired, loosely inspired, but they'll never be... like on the prompt when they're doing the floor show, like,
yeah, because they don't want it, like, it's not up to them to get judged.
I think it had like alien, like a little bit of sci-fi inspiration to it.
Yeah, maybe
they only stand to lose if they follow the prompt, like if they do a Western inspired look and they don't totally like blow everyone away, then who are they to judge?
I did like that their hair, I at first thought, oh, they're wearing different hair.
No, it was like the front of one wig was one and the back of the other one. And those
it was
were
like
Marco's
black and
wigs.
White, front and back.
So he cut That's them stunning. In half and then sewed them together. Now, I did read a tweet that I thought was quite funny, and it said,
okay.
I love that they have the little boule wear higher heels and stand closer to the camera than the big boule.
Closer to the camera?
Closer to the camera. She's moved forward during those little modeling things.
That's amazing. They're doing smart things.
They got someone learned some camera trickery. Now, our guest judges are Trixie Mattel and my good friend Orville Peck. And former guest of the pod.
Both former guests of the pod.
Yes. I think couldn't have found better guest judges.
Oh, yeah. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
What do you think of these people, Abora?
Finally a guest judge that knows something about drag on this season.
Truth.
Wait,
you didn't think Darren Stein knew anything about drag?
But
he was all painted it up.
His angina was perfect.
Oh! Go up. I mean, it was an Angina fantasy.
It was a little moon. She was
casting an illusion, that's for damn sure.
I love Darren Stein so much. But you have somebody who has been doing drag for a long time, and now you have, and you also have somebody who is like submersed in drag culture. So it's not just Vanessa Hudgens just snapping.
Also, Orville is a fan of the show, so he knows what's happening. He's watched every episode of Dragula. So it's also like he's informed about kind of what they're looking for.
Right.
And then the floor show begins, and it is Miss Robo Dolly Parton.
Well, let me just say this about the floor show. Remember last week at the Nosferatu beach party, we were talking about how confusing it was. We couldn't quite tell what was happening. I felt so relieved to come back to this editing of the floor show where they were like, here's the person. This is their name. This is their look. Moving on. Yes. I was like, ah, I can see what they're bringing to the table.
Right. And I liked the silhouette of each person before we got to see them. It was like kind of, it was a gift. It was nice that it made sense. So then Robo Dolly Parton, Miss Betty, comes out. I agree with the statement that she should have maybe put an application on her eye.
Yeah, Trixie.
But I also know that like there's a huge window for an application to be terrible and a very small window for it to be good. So if you have, if you haven't done it before or practiced it, it's probably better just to paint it.
Right. Right. I am in love with this look so much. It you can tell that she is just excited to give it to us. It's all of her favorite things. She's showed me the greatest little whorehouse in Texas. She forced me, basically, because she loves it so much. So it was a really good look. I really enjoyed it.
And we have Coco as our... Oh.
Well, I was just going to say, to me, the concept is so wild. Like, this is a memorable concept, because Dolly is one thing and RoboCop is the other, but Robo Dolly? You're like, what the fuck? And the way the judges even said you were kind of malfunctioning between entertaining and murdering people, that was a funny detail that clearly came through with her panache-filled performance.
It was very Westworld.
It was Westworld. Then we had Coco. She was the pig hooker. And my favorite part was the smoke coming out of the mask.
Now, did she take a drag of something? Or was she just smoking?
She had to have taken a drag of something and released it.
It must have been a vape or something.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if she could do like, what's that music? What's that musical instrument called where you blow into the tube?
I mean, most musical instruments are like that.
No, flute? The plastic tube. It's like a synthesizer.
Oh, a synthesizer?
With the piano keys on the side.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not like a theremin. It's like a... Whatever. Imagine if she had like rigged up a vape that was like a straw underneath the mask. And so like the vape pack was like on her back and she could just suck on the straw without... inhaling a thing. That could be a cool little trick, huh?
That could be really cool.
Yeah, continuous.
But I didn't really love the look itself. And I think it was, like they said, it wasn't dirty and it wasn't torn up. It just kind of looked like a hoop skirt and a corset and her big old titties again.
The pig feet were cool.
What is happening here is the same thing that happened during the Ghost Town Challenge in my season, where most people just defaulted to the madam archetype.
Yes.
So.
But not Zavaleta. They came out looking like a mutant revolutionary. The hat, the feathers.
Yes, the hat.
The teeth.
The machismo. The grabbing the crotch and like moving. I was horny.
It was
not
hot.
As horny as I was for Dolly.
It was hot. Yeah, you're a clown fucker. You like that clown.
For Dolly.
Yeah.
For anyone who has any clown that has a mustache, this is a bitch will ride. Let me tell you. What did you think of this look, Abora?
Zavaleta. My God. You can tell that, like, there was so much passion just pouring out of her because, like, this meant something to her. This was important historically. And I loved and appreciated absolutely every minute of it. The silhouette was perfect. The gaucho, it was perfect.
Sigourney. Let's talk about Sigourney's look.
Sigourney.
Or as Eva Destruction said, Sigourney.
Sigourney. So, okay, this was sort of like alien saloon girl and a stripper.
Started with a Dallas Cowboys gown.
Uh-huh.
I will say that it was gorgeous, and it, I guess, fit the prompt. It was just like, it stood out so much because it was so different from everybody else's. It was clean. It was, she was an alien hooker, madam,
showgirl,
performer, showgirl. It was an incredible look. I loved the look. I loved both of them.
It just didn't drive a narrative home for me. But it was visually stunning. She is absolutely a master at.
And this is where, I guess, when they say that it's your drag as it pertains to the competition. And this is her drag.
Right. And this was her drag. And I think in the judging, I mean, we'll talk about it, but in the judging, they say to her, it was spectacular. We just didn't know who you were the world. Okay, right. Let's talk about Saint, honey. Move over, Doja Cat.
Saint?
Moo! You remember that song, Bitch, I'm a Cow?
Yeah.
Yes, that was a wild time.
I don't say meow.
That was great. When she came out, I was like, oh my God, I just dressed up like a cow too.
So has Lyrical Lucille thing. Stoolington, honey.
Yes, Lucille. We love black magic. Mm-hmm. I love this look. I loved how like the hip pad or like the hip placement of those things. The udders were great. The mask was incredible, and how she blacked out the one eye where the spot was.
Can I ask a question? About,
is it going to be racist?
No, the mask application. Like, down by her chin, it felt like it was like coming off, and I just didn't understand why she didn't do makeup the whole way down. Like, because the makeup she did was so good, and then the mask had this like, it looked like it was like lifting, like the paper.
I think it was supposed to look like that. I didn't think it was lifting. I thought it was just, I thought it was like a hard plastic mask that she had cut to that shape around her mouth.
Got it. I just don't know anything about that stuff. So
I don't either. I don't wear that stuff.
When you're wearing a mask, even if you've worn it before, unless you have the time to put it on, mark where it's going to land, and then do your makeup accordingly, you could just miss the hole by like an inch, and then you'll have that disconnect, and then there's nothing you can do about it.
So you think that it was lifted?
I didn't notice that detail.
Okay. I'm trying to find a photo of it here. Hold on. But let's move on.
Let's move on to Jade. She comes out as a brain-eating alien hunter.
Uh-huh.
She's like a cowboy, but for aliens. And I liked it. I loved the prop. The prop told me a story. It was like, I do this. I eat their brains. I lasso them up. I'm a wrangler. I am a cowboy of the aliens.
Yeah. Concise. It was concise. It told a story.
It was safe.
It didn't do anything groundbreaking for me.
What would you have done differently if you were Jade to like up that or make it closer to the thing? Because they're not giving her notes.
Well, it's tough because she checked every box.
Yeah.
But there's just something missing. I don't know. Heart. Just like the excitement for it, I can just tell that this was an assignment to be completed. I see a different Jade than the Sanderson sister from two challenges ago. I see somebody who is trying to have fun with it. She knows she has to have fun with it to sell it, but I don't think she fully enjoyed this challenge.
Let's talk about someone who did enjoy this challenge, Dali.
Fuck me.
girl, you're like, put those two guns in my bus. Okay.
Yeah.
So Intergalactic Bounty Hunter, this also to me had a little bit of like a Mad Max, like solo desert warrior type.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, flying from planet to planet and they're all desert planet. I mean, this was just like, it was so dope. It was so well done. It looked like it could be in a fucking blockbuster movie. Like, it just looked really high quality and really cool.
I loved it.
Because it's only available on VHS in the 90s.
She brought the shade.
How?
I love Dolly so much. She was my dum-dum. But,
Me too.
Loves
what did you hate about this, Abby?
What did I hate? I love the whole thing. I just, you know, she's so fun and she just loves distressing things. Give her some baby powder and a power sander and she's happy. She loves to make things look super old and I really enjoy watching her work. So, that's my friend.
Okay. And then all Hoso right. with the jock all out in the cactus look. Did you clock?
It was.
To go rewatch.
Honey.
It was in a jock strap. It was a cactus with a ding-a-ling.
Oh.
She said, ding-a-ling, don't get too close to my spike. You know what I'm saying?
I liked it, but I also don't know if in the Weird Wild West, if there's like a living cactus thing, alien form. It didn't fit the Western thing.
I feel like their cactus was a little too like friendly and it needed to be more like Venus flytrap, like killer cactus.
Yeah.
But I loved the idea because it felt like no one else was going to do that idea.
It looked like a Power Ranger villain.
Yes.
And I liked it.
We talk about Mary Cherry? I know we did.
Well, we did earlier. So I mean, she was an alien brothel mother.
But why did she have one eye?
I don't know, because she wanted to be an alien with one eye. Was it a misstep?
I would prefer her take that anglerfish headdress and bring that bitch for a second time. Bring that flashlight back out and give her, be like, I don't have one eye, I got one spotlight. Just because, girl, the eye, I mean, I do not do makeup, but the eye, I'll never tell.
It was, when she said one eye, I was like, oh, Mary's going to do some sort of some sort of application or some latex covering Cyclops, of the eye Cyclops thing. And it was just, she just kind of drew on black. But she is starting to paint her body. So she is upping the game in other ways.
It just felt like it didn't need the eye.
No, it did not.
That was the thing for me. Or maybe she should have done 50 eyes. So she can watch all her girls. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah!
Just eyes everywhere. Like her whole head is eyes. I feel like that would have played a little better.
Or she could have taken the hat off and it been like one
eyes
giant.
All over her
eyes
head.
All over her head.
The anglerfish, one giant head one. underneath her Mae West hat. She's like, the I've eyes. Got my eyes on
the
you. The eyes. Oh my God. Okay, so let's quickly talk about what the judges said to these people. Or do you have anything to say about Mary Abora?
I think she's great.
Oh my God.
I think she's great. I think she's so great.
Well, the judging starts.
Y'all are awful.
We are not. I said what I said. I don't like the eye, but I thought the costume looked very
it
nice.
Is. I'm looking at it again right now on my screen. It is the beading and it's the beaded, feather work. It's really lovely.
Feathered.
And she got shape.
She's giving body. So the judges, they start with their statement. We're not here to judge your drag. Drag is art, and art is subjective. What we are here to do is judging you on your drag as it relates to the competition and the challenges we put forth for you.
All right.
But this to me, is... mouthing everything he's saying.
This is like, I lived for this little moment when they were like, Jade, you're safe. Mary, you're safe. Hoso, you're safe. But remain on the stage and listen to us critique everyone because we know you are dying for feedback and critique, but we will not give it
to
you.
We are still not going to give it to you.
That was the gaggiest
moment. Just critique
them.
Just give them something. Just say, Mary, the eye was a misstep. Jade, you don't look like you're having fun. Hoso?
Mary, we didn't see eye to eye this time.
Oh, no.
All right, so let's go down the line, because I think this was actually, and I said it earlier, it was clear that obviously Orville and Trixie are friends. They have a song together. They hang out. Both Orville and Trixie have, like, played at Boulay's parties before. Like, these people know one another, and it was clear from the judging panel that they did, like, have a rapport. And I also, I gotta say, I really do love that little pre-judging sibling chat that the Boulays do, because like Meatball, you were saying before, they really show their more authentic personality. And I feel like it's that when their character is stripped down a little that you see that they actually really care about the queens and really care about the competition. And, you know, who knows about the longevity of those feelings, but at least in the moment, they are really looking for, you know, a nurturing experience for everyone involved in the show.
History says they care about them for about 2 years, and then it's... So Sigourney, Trixie says that she loves the look, but like we said earlier, they don't really know who this character is. Is she a mutant? Is she an alien?
Yeah,
I'd agree.
Is it wrong of me to think it gave a little bit when Bitch did the green waitress?
But yeah. I mean, it was heightened. It was that, but heightened.
Because it was like alien, but in a like Earth job.
Yeah.
I feel like she was a Dallas Cowboy, an elevated Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. The
first thing
alien.
Was a Dallas Cowboys look, which I thought was like, so are we saying that you exist in the world of Dallas Cowboys, or what? Like, are we in the future or the past? Saint, they think she's holding back. The movement on the runway wasn't there. I agree. Saint seemed scared on the runway this week.
Yeah.
You think something was going to fall off? Because we all know that walk when you've got a costume on that you think might break at any moment.
Or you I don't got think a board does, but not... I do.
Oh, no. I have tons of times... like really tried a really adventurous headpiece and just did not secure it enough. So I'm doing this like wobble walk where I'm like counter balancing and balancing the teapots on my head. And you can tell when someone's tiptoeing.
Right.
I mean, it's clear that Saint ends up in the bottom because she didn't perform. She didn't do anything. She did like a slow walk. And then there's Zavaleta, who the little one is obsessed with this character and performance, and the judges are like super into it. The performance was everything.
Yeah. Mm. Zavaleta was like in her bag this week. She was like, I've given you emotional vulnerability in the boudoir. I've given you confidence in my design, and I'm giving you like full performance and like representation of my heritage. Like, this was her moment.
But also, it feels like this episode should have been surrounding Zavaleta, but at the end of the day, I would call this Mary Cherry's episode.
This is the like the build of the Mary Cherry story arc.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It feels as though she so might Dolly, be leaving us soon.
Everyone wants to fuck Dolly. Trixie is like,
Trixie is horny.
All this masculinity you brought to the competition. I mean,
you could see it in her eyes. Her mouth was watering. She was horny for Dolly, and so am I, Dolly.
Don't you think?
Can I get anybody a wet nap? Does anyone need, like, a towel?
Coco, they kind of drag. They said they want to see more range. She keeps doing the same thing. And then they do a super cut of the last three episodes, and she's Oh, we lost Deborah. Let's just... I think her phone's dead, so let's just...
No, really?
Yeah, remember she said her phone was dying.
Oh, I thought she like figured out a way to charge it.
No, she can't charge it with the headphones in.
Amora! Can you be sad that we lost our guest?
I am sad. I'm more just like, do we wait? Do we just finish it and wait for her to come back on?
Well, let's keep going, but you got to do a bit about it.
Oh no, we lost Abora. What are your Abora?
Abora?
Abora? Okay, I think Abora's phone died. So
classic Abby. You know what I mean?
classic classic dolls. She did say when this started, she thought that the recording was at 11 p.m.
Which is very
us. Who the fuck?
She's like, I wasn't ready.
Let's hop on a Zoom at 11 p.m.
Okay. Girl, too much.
So
okay.
Coco, they want to see more range. I think I said it already. They showed a supercut of her doing the exact same walk 3 times.
Big titties, dress, walk.
Trixie says the funniest thing.
She's that Saucy Santana song. Let me see you walk.
Walk.
What about Trixie? This makes for a good guest judge right here.
Yes. Great guest judge. She says, you want to be a pig bottom, not a pig in the bottom.
Girl. Smart play on words. And then Betty, of course, the judges loved the performance. They said in their little sibling chat, this is the Betty we wanted to see. And then I love that, like, Trixie probably, or maybe not, maybe Betty moved to Chicago after Trixie was no longer doing gigs in Milwaukee and Chicago.
Oh, I forgot.
Because I was like, maybe they know one another. But then, well, also, she used to get wigs from Betty.
She used to get wigs from Betty. She knows Betty.
Because I'm like, yes, you're doing the thing where you're meant to judge, be a judge. But I'm like, leave Betty alone. You don't have to bring up the one negative critique, which is like maybe do an applique instead of the paint.
But I don't think she was wrong, because when she out with that paint, I was just kind of like, yeah, you did that. But it was very reminiscent of Bob as the robot on Drag Race. But like, she got dragged for it. But again, like I said, applications are hard. So that would be something that she would have had to have bought 2 of them, practiced with one before she got there, and just prayed that it was going to go on smooth.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I think she might actually know how to do applications, because she put on that bald cap flawlessly and she has a full head of hair.
Oh, and remember we talked about that last week, but she said the plan was for the bald cap to eventually come off, but it came off early when Jade and her were performing. She tweeted about this. Jade was pretending to eat her out. And when Betty was like, you know, writhing in orgasmic pleasure, the wig fell off early, so she went with it. So when they talked about, oh, your wig falling off, they meant it happened untimely, not that it came off altogether, because obviously she was prepared for it to come off.
Oh, okay, perfect.
But let's talk about what we would have done for this challenge.
Oh, I mean, my initial thought went like what Abora was saying, it went straight to Madam. But then I was like, how do you flip that? Like, how do you not do that? So I would have been like a sexy cowgirl.
Very innovative. Well, think about Wild Wild West, right? Will Smith. I'm just kidding. Think about the Wild West.
I'd be a big motor spider.
No, think about the Wild West. Like, okay, the things that come to my mind, I'll list a few. A player piano.
Oh, you could have been like one of those guys. You know how they wear the arm garters and the bartender with the thing and the saloon door moment?
Right. Imagine this. Okay, this is a very high concept look. But imagine being like an amorphous, like a come to life sci-fi player piano. And you think about, you know, the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz when they like open up his torso and it's empty? What if you were to open up the torso and there was like, you know how player pianos work on a spinning wheel? What if there was like a spinning wheel inside your torso and you were playing your own like horror music and you had piano keys for fingers and teeth and you were like a horrified come to life murderous player piano? That's gore, South Wild West, and sci-fi, right?
That's kind of a cunt, that's a cunt good look. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know how to do it, but I think it would be cool.
That would be expensive, but there are people that could make that. I probably would have gone the route of Sigourney, but like been dirtier and like half robot, like lower half of the jaw robotic.
They love those lower jaw robots. Okay, well, let's take our break and we'll see if we can find Abora.
Where is Abora?
She's in the Wild Wild West.
I thought you were gonna say the Wild Wild waiting room. Okay.
We are are back, and we found in the wild, weird west a wild Abora.
Get out of my swamp! I mean,
the bitch is back. Okay, so our winner of the challenge is, of course, Zavaleta.
Yay! And she wins $1,000 to Fright Rags.
Do you know about Fright Rags?
Yeah.
I'm on their website right now. They have...
Do you have a feeling about them, Abora?
Well, I just... What if you don't like t-shirts?
Yeah, it's t-shirts of, like, old movies. So there's, like, a Bela Lugosi as Dracula movie poster on a t-shirt. And there's Bride of Frankenstein socks and Invisible Man socks.
$1,000, though.
Yeah. The shirts are $30 each.
That's a lot of shirts.
Not really.
That's a bale of shirts.
Socks are $12. Hoodies are $48. Seems like it'd be great to, like, this is great for gifts.
Great for gifts.
Buy a bunch of things and hand them out. We're all ookie spooky now.
We love gifts.
Not for me, Gorge, but for you, I think you'd love these mummy socks, Gorge.
Yeah. Wait, I love a perfect got Mick impression all of a sudden.
I love that Grange.
Come on, Grange.
Oh my god. Okay, so then Coco and Saint have to do the extermination challenge, but no one has been asked to leave the stage yet. After La Zavaleta gets deemed the winner, they're like, but don't leave. And Coco and Saint are clearly in the bottom, and then the Boulets say, but they're not doing it the extermination challenge alone. Everyone has to do it. Now, how did you feel when you heard this?
I shit my pants.
But did they say what the challenge was before?
No.
Okay. I thought they were just going to do a repeat of the paintball challenge, but I was like,
they're at the Globe.
They're at the Globe. What are they going to do? Go to the alley and like shoot?
Well, I also thought, like, oh, Wild West, maybe branding, maybe they'll do the tattoo challenge again.
Ooh,
I thought they were just going to line dance.
But they could have, like, set them up for, like, a scarring thing, be like, you have to get, like, a scar of something. Like, a medical scar. Like, it's like tattooing, but a little bit heavier duty. But anyway, they instead decide that they'll ride they're going to do an old Texas bar favorite game. A mechanical bull.
But they call it the hell bull.
Hell yeah.
It was bucking so slow they had to put it in fast forward. So back at the cauldron, Betty doesn't know if she was in the top or bottom. Mary is sick of being safe. Jade wants feedback from the judges, but they won't give it to her. And then Mary and Zava get into yet another fight. And then Jade is literally in the middle of it. And again, none of it makes sense.
Yeah, the editing makes this very unclear, and a lot of things that happen drama-wise do not get filmed, so we don't know if these people have had private conversations where...
Well, Mary even says it. She goes, we're going to have a conversation when we get back to the house. Girl, what I think is crazy is if you go to the beginning of the episode, Zava jumps on Mary's back when they do the little ride him up in the boudoir, and also when Mary steps aside to make her own little story, she has a heart-to-heart with Zavaleta. Mm-hmm. So clearly at the beginning they were at least getting along or on one another's side.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand if Mary is supposed to be the villain, our fan favorite, or the comedic relief, or someone that we hate. Like, there's no... I can't tell because they keep editing her in such weird ways.
But I love that fight because to me, this is what we have grown to love to see in a decade of watching drag on TV is queens with drinks, quipping back and forth. Someone's in the middle making jokes. You don't know what's going on, but they're saying things like, me, I'm just being nice to you. Oh, no, you're being a bitch. Oh, I'm being a bitch? Like, and you don't know what's going on, but they really delivered that for us, which I appreciate.
And they just keep going back and forth, and you think it's over, and then Jade says something, and she's like, enough with your jokes. And Jade is like, oh, so now, I'm in the middle of it. And then they mention Betty's name, and Betty's like, oh, what are you saying about me?
Someone
and
Mary's says something
like,
about me.
Nothing. And it's just like, no, say what's happening. It was just like everyone just being like, you mad, you mad, you mad. So I don't even know who started that fight.
Girl.
Well, it really is like one of those Old West brawls that breaks out in a saloon where it's like a guy punches at a guy and the guy ducks and punches another guy. And he's like, you son of a bitch. And then he shoots that guy, but he ducks and it shoots another guy. And then the piano guy gets killed. And it's like,
completely. No, that's exactly what's happening.
Okay, so
then the final like sort of moment in the cauldron is that I didn't really realize it until this moment, but Saint and Coco are in the bottom and they're friends and they represent, you know, two of the black queens on the show and one of them is going home.
Well, in their minds, the only two black queens.
Correct. Well, we'll get there. But Saint gets really emotional and is like, whichever one of us stays has to fight like hell to be in the top three because it's important that people see us represented on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having this like really heartfelt moment with someone. They both talk about how they're inspired by one another. And she's like, we have to be visible on the show. And Mary pipes up and says, oh, don't forget about me.
And then Coco claps back so quickly.
Mary, how could we? Girl, they are making good TV over here on season four.
They are. This is great. I mean, the drama is great. So the extermination challenge is riding the mechanical hell bull. Honestly, I've ridden a mechanical bull. It's fun. It is so fun. They do say that it's the challenge is whoever of the bottom two hangs on the longest. But
they didn't say that explicitly.
But then there's no like let's say in Fear Factor when there's a challenge of timing, you have a side by side screen and there's a clock so you can see.
Yeah.
This there isn't that. It's just kind of like whoever the mechanical bull rider like gave them an easier time for the ride and then bucked them off.
Also, no matter how long they stay on, the way that they chopped it up going back and forth between people, we have no idea how much time has been cut out of the middle. So they could have stayed on longer. And as long as they show them falling off first, our brains are like, supposed to think that they fell off first. So,
right. Do you think Mary Cherry's time started when she was on it, climbing up it, or because she definitely had the most screen time for this
girl?
And then there's also that where it's like there's no standardized way to get on it. So she's like side saddle, but like kind of falling off of it already, like.
Girl, she threw her body on top of it. They started jiggling.
She knew what she was doing. She was good. She was
giving good TV.
Giving
and there's
good
also
TV.
Such a huge difference between the girls who were like having a fun time, like Dolly and Sigourney.
Well, they had no pressure.
Yeah, I know, but like it was more fun to watch them have fun. I wish there would have been more of that. Also, I think you're only supposed to hang on with one hand. Coco ends up being exterminated.
Sad.
It's very sad.
She was one of my faves from the get-go.
I was saying day one, I was like, she's gonna go all the way.
Do you think she opted out of filming the extermination challenge scene, or they were like, we're gonna cook you, so we're just gonna make a body mold of you, and can we have your mask?
They typically try to, if they can avoid including somebody in a murder scene, they will.
I thought that was like the whole part of it, though.
Was that like when you get exterminated, you get to film a death scene? You get your own horror film ending.
Huh. I would have to ask her about that because, yeah, that's like your last grand moment, right? So.
Yeah,
right. And then, because even if like they could have had her like skipping along in the like, you know, nighttime in the little downtown Western, and then they could have cornered her and they could have said something like, here, piggy, and then there could have been like a knife and then like a jump cut to like her body on the spit roast, right? Like they could have told that story. So it makes me think she maybe opted out. But this is my question.
Oh, do you think that that's why their takes and the dialogue, it was so stilted and so long in between?
Don't okay. that. Please don't do that. This is my this is my question.
To fill time.
When they're okay. eating, it looks like they're trying to feed Israel raw meat, but then she's cooked.
Mama, she baked. No, she's cooked. She's fully cooked. And they're like, eat this raw meat. I'm like, okay, was there two deaths? Were they just so hungry they didn't let it cook all the way through?
Yeah, and all the townspeople are dead. So are they eating the townspeople? Or this one was real loose, open-ended. But, you know, a lot of people find that charming, which I find incredible. But yeah, a lot of more questions than answers this time.
Well, maybe we'll find out next week. Girl, these monsters keep dropping like flies.
Well, yeah, one has to go home every week.
It's crazy.
What do you think there'll ever be a double elimination? Do you think that like two girls will do so poorly that they'll just be like, send them both home?
They do what they want.
They did a double elimination that first season, lest you forget.
Who?
Lawrence and Zochi.
I don't even... Who?
Are you a fan of the show?
Yeah, I love the show. I've watched single episode. I am a fan of the show!
You were on the show?
I think. When? If memory serves me correctly.
How long?
I made it technically to top four, if that's what we're going to call it.
So a lovely third
alternate.
This is
but something that they did for our season that they didn't do for any other season is they had a fan favorite award, and they gave me $1,000 for being the fan favorite.
What? Yeah. Did you spend it at?
They took it out. They took me and Vander out to lunch, and they said, "Congratulations, Vander!" And then they handed me a check for $1,000, and then I paid for my lunch.
All right, let's end the fucking show. God damn it.
Goodbye, Foggy.
And that arugula salad was the best arugula salad in Silver Lake history.
Atwater Village. Goodbye, Fugly.
Abora, it was so awful to see you here. Where can people follow you on the internet for all of their bird nose spookiness?
Oops. If you liked today's program and would like to follow me, my Instagram is @abora_rules. That's @abora_rules.
Oh, didn't it used to be Abora Sucks?
Yes, but now I'm taking my mental health seriously.
You better work, bitch.
We love that journey for you.
Yeah, yeah. Love that gurney for you, George.
All right. Well,
Sigourney.
Sigourney.
We love that journey for you, Gorge. Listen, keep watching Shudder.com. Watch these episodes. We're going to be back next week talking about episode 4 on Spooky Seconds. And this Tuesday's episode is just going to be me and Meatball because we've got so many things to catch up.
We
haven't even talked about Carrot Top yet.
No, we have not even done that. And that photo is so far down on my feed now. Well,
time to die.
Sing us out.
Do it.
Things without you be much better.
You don't care about God. You just care about money.
You don't care about love.
You just care about money.
Die.
All right. Well, goodbye, Abora. Thanks for joining us. Sorry. All right.
Bye.
We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you
gotta go.
Okay.
You gotta go, people.
Doodle doo doo forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.